you take, let us assume, a third toke. Long and slow, you vaporize, and you take it in and in and in, and there is a sound like the crumpling of a plastic bread wrapper, or the crackling or the flame, or the and a tone, and a tone, a
You're listening to Kootenai Co-op Radio 93.5 FM CGLY, broadcasting live from Nelson and over the worldwide mycelium on www.kootenaicooperadio.com.
There is a cheer. The gnomes have learned a new way to say who.
All right, welcome. This is Fane of the Cosmos.
Infinite Moment.
I'm one of your hosts, Dustin Sunflower.
And I'm another of your hosts, Reverend DeMuzzi.
On today's show, we're going to be going in deep on the recent killings in northern Alberta. We're going to find out some of the facts, some of the lies.
There's just so much to be livid about this week. I don't know where to begin.
Yeah, there's a lot on the table these days regarding propaganda, media manipulation, and the demonization of Herb. But let's just talk about the weekend we had, Dan. Friday night, the Ecocentrics, which I was a part of, and Bird 2, my son, we were part of the lip sync contest. We entered with Michael Frondi. We Don't Stop. And we came third place. So we'll be playing that track after we do the intro, so you can hear what we were doing. But it was really good, really political, and it was one of the quietest receptions to a entry I'd ever seen. I think they're just like, what the hell?
And, you know, I always wondered what, you know, if Bush were to pull off his face, what would be behind it. And, boy, I was surprised to find it was Dustin.
I know. Oh, boy. Yeah. I secretly want to be Bush.
I guess you were actually wearing a Bush costume. You had the full suit and the mask, and that was a part of your skit. But
yeah.
When I saw you walking across the street with that mask on, boy, was I scared.
I know. A lot of the kids were cowering in fear because they were like, that was George Bush. But anyway, we came third, and then last night was an epicus. That was last night. Whoops, sorry. Lip sync contest. Then we went to the hip hop show.
Yeah.
Excellent rapping from Siphon X, which is Ian, which I really love. And then opening up was Pigeon John.
John, he was great.
He was awesome. He totally got the crowd pumping, got everything rolling, was hilarious, wasn't in the egotistical zone, made fun of himself, was like pumping out the humor, getting the crowd going. I just loved it. It was showmanship, entertainment, theater, comedy, all wrapped into one. It was just beauty. And then the hit, you know, with Lyrics Born, heavy hitter. It was awesome.
Lyrics Born was great, but I have to say, personally, I liked Pigeon John better.
He made
me laugh. I felt good.
Oh,
everyone was smiling ear to ear.
I was like, holy, this is what hip-hop can pull off. Like, this is fun. This is hilarious. This is totally educational, but in a totally, totally fun way.
I got the feeling that, you know, Pigeon John was like the kind of guy that could do hip-hop at an elementary school, you know, and get all the kids laughing.
He
had that high school performer, elementary school performer kind of vibe about him.
Totally. If I had seen that in high school, I would have been like, wow, hip-hop is actually fun. It's not so heavy, like, I got the gold chain, the booty, get that bitch, you know, and all that stuff. This was like, you know, just a guy making fun of himself and being true and... I don't know, he just had great rapport, and, you know, I really got to hand it off to him. Like, that made my night, for sure.
I know, I expected him to break into a round of Puff the Magic Dragon, I Smoke Weed by the Wagon.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it was awesome. And, Yeah. So great night last night. So let's go to a track. What do you think?
Yeah.
We'll go to Michael Franti, We Don't Stop. This is going out to the person who gave sanctuary to a wayward man without homes last night. God bless you, keep you forever. You know who you are.
Terror, a war on drugs, a war on kindness, a war on hugs, a war on birds and a war on bees. They got a war on hippies trying to save the trees, a war with jets and a war with missiles, a war with high-seated government officials, Wall Street war on high finance, a war on people who just love to dance, a war on music, a war on speech, a war on teachers and the things they teach, a war for the last 500 years, war's just messing up the atmosphere, a war on Muslims, a war on Jews, a war on Christians and Hindus, a whole lot of people saying kill them all. They got a war on Mumia Abu-Jamal. The war on pop is a war that's fair, a war that's filling up the nation's jails. World War 1, 2, 3, and 4. Chemical weapons, biological war. Bush War 1 and Bush War 2. They got a war for me. They got a war for you.
We can't stop it when the beat just drops. We can't stop it when the rebel rock. We can't stop it till we hit those heights. We can't stop it because we love this. To the new day, round to the new day, transform hell into heaven. God lives through, grab hold of today. Yesterday is over, tomorrow may be too late. Everything is one, but the one is unbalanced. Music made full of dollar, lack soul and talent. Really ain't it over by the feeling you was having as a child, running wild before the mind programming set in threatening.
Yo, establishment,
get in this energy.
Lay back and see
the next man wrecking.
Till the
masses lay, hey, heads brethren.
Get to asking, yeah.
And we'll win, Mr. President.
What do you know?
It's evidence setting in slow.
How does it go?
An unprecedented event is about to unfold. The devil can't start, won't start, blocking the globe, falling the sound here. Freedom come knock at the door. They try locking the door, but we about to explode. We got the firefly, tiger eye, apocalypse flow. So deep in the bottom of your bottomless soul. Sin mind, darts flying out without a pistol. Redesign lost minds, got out of the cold. Bring order to a world that is out of control. Truth you say, I say, how do I know?
We can't stop when the beat just drops. We can't stop when the rebel rock. We can't stop until we hit those heights. We can't stop because we love this life.
Because I love punk rock. I wanna rock with heads because I love hip hop. I wanna rock my beats all around the block. If I was in Baghdad, then I would rock. I rock. I wanna rock with punks because I love punk rock. I wanna rock with heads because I love hip hop. I wanna rock my beats all around the block. There's just one love, so the planet will rock. Yeah.
New world days and new world nights. New world wrong and new world rights. Putting new world funds in the new world banks. With the new world guns on the new world tanks. New world devils and new world gods. New world jails, see the new world's hard. New world names, sing new world songs. New world planes are the new world laws. New world's flying, the new world's dying. The new world's crying, the new world's trying. New world sons and new world daughters. They're already selling us new world water. New world beats for the new world to bang. New world streets for the new world to hang. New world president, new world drugs. New world resident, new world thugs. New world players for new world sports. New world trials for new world courts. New world lawyers and new world laws. New world prisons and new world bars. New world fight, the new world fist. New world lighting up the new world split. New world smoking, the new world burns. New world's choking, the new world's dead.
We can't stop it when the beat just drops. We can't stop it when the rebel rock. We can't stop it till we hit those heights. We can't stop it cause we love this life. We can't stop it when the beat just drops. We can't stop it when the rebel rock. We can't stop because we love this high.
We don't stop.
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 Welcome back. This is Fane of the Cosmos. If you're listening down Kootenai Lake, you're listening at 96.5 FM. Now, we had a real tragedy happen in northern Alberta these past few days.
There were four Mounties that were shot.
Four police RCMP officers who were on duty were guarding a crime scene, and while they were waiting for other Mounties to secure a search warrant, all four of the officers were shot, and the suspect in the end was wounded and eventually shot himself in the
It's funny because there's so many layers of politicking, and I'm sure that a lot of our listeners have heard about this story already, but there's so many layers of politicking that have been put on top of that since then.
But let's not go there.
No, I know you
weren't saying we were going to go there.
I'm saying specifically we shouldn't go there right away. Let's take a moment.
Okay, so we're going to turn down the music. And let's just have a moment of silence for the officers who were murdered, and let's just remember that these were people who were in the RCMP, who were there to try and protect their community, people who joined the force because they believed in an ideal of being a service to the people and of being a part of the Canadian social structure that protects people, and they were just doing their best, and that anytime someone is trying to protect people, that that's a huge responsibility, and that in this case they paid for that responsibility with their lives. So Let's just have a moment of silence, and if all the listeners out there could just think of the officers and send love and light to them, and also prayers for their families, their children, their wives, their grannies, their grampies, their nephews, their community, where they worked, the people they worked with, all the people involved. If we can just send out a prayer to those people, love and kindness, understanding and sympathy, and offer them the best light of our hearts. If we can do that just for a minute, we'll just take a moment of silence. Blessings, and just it's a hard thing to go through for sure, and we offer, as two people who've really been studying the war on drugs and been studying, have been critical of RCMP and have spoken out, that we send our blessings and love to those people, their families, and everybody involved. We're always sorry that these kinds of things go down.
Yeah, it's really sad that whenever there's a loss of human life, and especially when it's when it happens to somebody who's really honestly trying to do something good for their fellow people.
You know? Totally.
So why don't we, maybe we should cut to a song. When we come back, we can talk about the politics about around this.
Okay, we're going to go to, this is from the German reggae band Seed, and this is Sensamia.
A green leaf lady and she checked for my physique. Him a turn into a doctor, make a quick analysis. Read up and say, this your diagnosis. Bah, mother say, heavy with neurosis. And then she say, no a way out of this. Let me be your spliff therapist. Oh boy, be the lover like this. Let me be your spliff therapist. Baby boy, something different than this. A lot more than a spliff therapist. Singing, oh boy, need a lover like this. Let me be your spliff therapist. Baby boy, something different than this. A lot more than a spliff therapist.
Sweet leafy lady, lass uns auf dein Zimmer gehen. Leg mich übers Knie, Mary Joanna, ich will die Sterne sehen. Du bist so gut, Darling, ich vergess die Zeit um mich rum. Solange ich morgen weiß, wie ich heiß, nehm ich dir gar nichts krumm. Du, manche deiner Massenkunden bleiben nur für ein paar Stunden. Für die einen bist du der Retter, andere schickst du auf die Bretter. Tschuh, da klappt der Kopf auf Klang, Übergang von der einen Welt zur anderen. Dann Verstand ist gefangen. Manchmal, wenn ich mit roten Augen aufstehe und mich im WC-Spiegel quasi dich bei der Arbeit sehe, dann lass ich eure Durchlauch durchraucht in der Ecke stehen. Irgendwann werd ich dich wiedersehen. Oh boy, need a lover like this. Let me be your spliff therapist. Maybe boy, something different than this. More than a spliff therapist. Singing, oh boy, need a lover like this. Let me be your spliff therapist. Baby boy, something different than this. A lot more than a spliff therapist.
Awake in the morning with a first sun ray. I smoke shit and joke it. I feel hard to say, Sensamia. Give me old sweat for a day and move the flow. We blow the show. Outro, don't load the Sensamia. We suck and spit, but never sit. Do hit the quit of shit and kiss. Don't miss.
Yo. Dennis, da play den along doing style, check
lass
das.
Lass mal hören von deiner geilen Flüssigkeit.
Sie ist mein Asyl, das Paradies und meine Ziel. Meine Ziel. Ich wasch meine Seele rein und will bloß kein Persil. Kein Persil. Sie gibt mir Kraft und Ruhe, viel Flash und Euphorie. Euphorie. Und gibt mir Halt in einem Land, das den Teufel liebt. Ey, wir wollen anders sein, weil wir immer anders waren. Anders waren. Wir wollen kein Kanzler, keine Fahnen und keine Panzer fahren. Nee, wir wollen breit sein, während wir den Song singen. Song, denn in diesem Land geht nix, so ne tight gemixte Long Rings. Check das.
Oh boy, need a lover like this. Let me be your spliff therapist. Baby boy, something different than this. A lot more than a spliff therapist. Singing, oh boy, need a lover like this. Let me be your spliff therapist.
Front on this, a lot more than a spliff therapy.
Okay, welcome back. That was Seed, Spleef Therapist.
So, Dustin, I guess now we're going to talk about, we're going to be getting into this whole political thing, and isn't it interesting how whenever we're, you know, we start to talk about media and politics, that the original, you know, the original thing, the thing that happened, often gets so forgotten and so buried in you know, essentially what I would just call flat out lies
or hype.
Yeah. So why don't we start with what was the public's, what was the media's immediate perception, and how did that come about?
Okay. So
after the death of these four officers at this farm in Alberta.
So once the police had discovered there was no radio contact with the officers, they went in and they found four murdered officers and one suicide. And the first news story that hit the waves was four RCMP officers killed in marijuana operation.
Yeah, and then we had other other even, you know, worse headlines after that, like grow up maniac kills four Mounties, which was the headline of the Globe and Mail.
Yeah. And just news stories that sensationalized cannabis as, well, they were calling it marijuana, that the marijuana grow up was the reason the officers were there, and that some crazed marijuana smoking grower murdered them. And that was basically the first media punch.
So sad. And the police weren't totally innocent in this. The I would at least say the officials were not totally innocent. For example, we had Commissioner Giuliano Zaccardelli call a press conference right afterwards and say that grow operations are a major serious threat to our society. I quote, a plague on our society now. And of course, we had Public Safety Minister Anne McClellan come out and promise that she was going to take a second look at decriminalization legislation and see if she could make the laws tougher. And that was pretty much the first kind of things that happened. The police came out. They claimed originally that there were 300 plants worth of potentially $400,000.
I remember that. And they were kind of insinuating that this Quonset, they had the picture of the Quonset, was somehow jam-packed with plants. Like that it was like the field of green, like such a big grow-up.
And they were also saying that the officers who were called in for backup were green team officers.
Yeah, which... So that's the initial story. It starts out that way. Outcry from drug war, you know, lackeys across Canada were touting this as an example of marijuana crime, grow up, violence, all that. It just started off huge hysteria whirlwind.
And then with the bodies of the four RCMP still being packed away in bags, essentially, it was, you know, this was this huge media hype.
Mm-hmm.
But then it slowly unfolded that the killer, James Roscoe, was actually well known among locals as a psychotic gun nut that he had actually been involved in a number of awful things during his life, that he had even molested a young boy at one point.
Convicted of child molestation, for sure.
But you know...
History of Christian fundamentalism, obsession with guns.
Yeah. In fact, one of his very first criminal acts was to break into a gun store. And actually, then also the community knew this was a powder keg situation that could blow up at any time.
He also was charged with uttering threats, assault, and a host of other charges. He had a huge criminal record. In fact, I can't verify this, but I think he had just recently served time, like part like in the past couple of years?
Well, you know, the thing is, originally his father said that things started going wrong for him at about age 12 when they were divorced, and his father kind of blamed things on his mother. And then it came out later, you know, and but we can talk about a couple other things first. And then, you know, then there was the gun store incident, and then 1993 he was charged with assault with a weapon and pointing a firearm and impersonating an officer. In 1999 he was charged for shooting at two trespassers. I mean, this guy was just gun crazy.
Yeah,
you know, and that's a really unpopular sentiment in Alberta, you know, the home of gun mania. But he was also a dangerous recluse. His own father called him a devil. The people in the community didn't want to have anything to do with him. And when they spoke to the media, they did it on the condition of anonymity because they were afraid that at that point that he may still be alive and they didn't want any repercussions.
Yeah, some psycho squad would get him.
And but you know, when you take a look at all these tents he's put together, his reclusiveness, his violence, his obsession with firearms, and also his hatred of police, because he had a growing, as his brother revealed, he had a growing hatred for police throughout his life that actually led to him feeling very isolated from his family and from his community. And that so this feeling of being oppressed by a powerful group, along with his other characteristics, means that he fit perfectly the profile of a mass murderer, that he was just ready to go off, and that almost everybody in the community knew it.
All indicators were there. Like, if you do psychological profiling, he had all the attributes that you could say within a reasonable amount of time it would have led to a violent there would have been a violent situation about to happen. I have no doubt in my mind that that's the reason they sent 4 RCMP officers. You know what I mean? Like, to say, the reason you don't normally send 4 RCMP officers for anything.
Well, there were 6 altogether. Originally, there was a sheriff, and then there were 2 more. Then he called in backup 2 more officers, and they called in 4 more.
Mm. So, but in those situations, the officers knew that there was this. They were not dealing with a normal situation. This person wasn't a normal run-of-the-mill citizen who was in trouble with the law. This person had a long history of violence, a long history of weapons offenses, and so they knew that this guy was. You know, they would have to call in extra backup.
Yep. Later it was revealed that, in fact, you know, it wasn't the divorce that sort of got things started. His mother left the home. Roscoe was living with his father. His father found a bag of marijuana underneath Roscoe's mattress. And then he called the police on his own son. And this was the beginning of his involvement with the police. Now, you can see quite clearly that if he had a bottle of whiskey under his mattress, it wouldn't have been a big deal. Nothing would have happened. And we know that alcohol is far worse for you than cannabis. And the real only thing that started his... And this was just around age 12, a very vulnerable psychological time. And the thing that really started his decline is his association with criminality was his father turning him into the police.
His first introduction to cops and the legal system was through the negative spin on the war on drugs. The just having some herb under his mattress, boom, the cops are there. So his first impressions of law enforcement were negative.
And his father apparently didn't let up on him after that. And Roscoe complained after that, from that point onwards, of being harassed by the police. So, you know, it created this negative stereotype for him. Not only did he, you know, have the stigma and the trauma of originally being busted for a small amount of possession that nobody should be busted for anyways, but then it resulted in this sort of like lifelong negative relationship with police officers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just goes to show really what a heinous crime prohibition is to the minds of our young.
Mm-hmm. How it can instill a disrespect for law enforcement when law enforcement are expected to uphold arcane laws like the war on drugs.
So, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, after this sort of realization began to emerge in the mass consciousness that this guy Roscoe was actually quite unhinged mentally.
Yeah.
The papers began to do an about face. The media began to realize, wait a second, we've sensationalized this in a bad way and it's having negative repercussions. So you would think at this point that government ministers would also realize, wait a second, irk, you know, maybe we should, you know, wait a second and not really move forward with, you know, whatever we're talking about here. So I think we got it wrong. We may be sensationalizing
it too much.
The
facts started to come out, right? And what were the facts?
Well, facts were he was a psycho.
No, but the actual search warrant that they were going to get was not...
Well, let's get into that. Okay, let's talk about that.
Because we got to understand that there's the initial what was claimed to be found there that created a certain hysteria. Well, once the facts come out, and these are the facts, folks, there was 20 marijuana plants.
Not 300.
Not 300, not estimated at $400,000, not a Quonset, not a Quonset full of pot. He actually had 20 plants in British Columbia is considered almost as low as you can get for a personal grow. Like,
but before we get too far into it, let's also talk about the fact that the warrant was sealed until Friday, which is a very telling thing. I've been in journalism for 10 years now. When you keep information from the press until a Friday, that means that you're trying to put a spin on it, because then the weekend will go by and then the issue will die down a little bit. And in the meantime, you've gotten your point out. Right, so it was a whole attempt to actually spin things a certain way, very deliberately, and I think because the police authorities were attempting to avoid blame for this incident, partly because these officers should have been better prepared.
I'm not sure what the laws are regarding access to an information to obtain search warrant, which is what you need to get a search warrant. What the laws are regarding that when there is no accused.
Yeah, I mean, there are still many details that are going to come out in this case for sure and I know it's going to show further that there were shenanigans going on, but another part of it was really just to inflate the dangers of grow ops.
And also the actual warrant was for stolen truck parts. That was the main thrust of the investigation.
That's right.
That's the reason why the officers were there, was for stolen truck parts.
But originally, what had happened was Roscoe had a disagreement with the dealership from which he had purchased his truck. And the disagreement was over repairs. And so he stopped making his car payments. And then they sent out a sheriff to repossess the vehicle. And he let his dogs loose and hopped in his truck and took off. And the sheriff had a look around and he found these truck parts. So he called in two RCMP officers. And those two RCMP officers found the 20 plants and called in four more officers. Now, they didn't call in green team officers like the media and the police had originally claimed. I guess more the police, the media were just, you know, reporting what the police said. But they didn't call in green team officers. They called in auto theft unit officers. So once again, this was not a marijuana raid or investigation. This was a truck. This was auto parts theft investigation from the start to finish.
That they just happened to find some plants. It wasn't. That wasn't the main thrust of their investigation.
Thousands of dollars worth of auto parts strewn through this guy's property.
Yeah.
And that was the investigation.
Okay, so here we have, listeners, the facts are slowly being exposed. It wasn't a marijuana investigation. It was an auto theft investigation. Now the facts are out in the media. What was the spin? Did the spin change? Well, actually, it didn't really change at all. The media hype kept on the same, this kept on with their original facts, or the, not facts, their original story, and they kept up with the hype and the media spin.
Well, you know, some of the media did and some of it didn't. Some of the media were beginning to report it as being like, no, the guy was crazy, let's talk. And very responsible, I would say, you know, that some of the media had realized that there was a problem with this story.
Yeah.
But the politicians and the police officials tried to maintain the spin, and to the point where Public Safety Minister Anne McClellan was still saying, look, we need these tough new laws, and her and Paul Szabo, another liberal MP, usually a backbencher, so he doesn't usually have too much pull. But he's, Szabo is infamous for his work with the Controlled Drugs and Substances Act in 1995 and very strongly pushing for tough measures in that act. Well, you know, Szabo and McClellan got together and they said, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take the decriminalization bill that's currently in discussion in Parliament, and we're going to cut it out the parts that relate to grow operations, and we're going to make those really tough, and we're going to make them into a separate bill, and we're going to ram it through really fast while the anti-pot hysteria is at its peak. And they've got 13 of 14 ministers, cabinet ministers, already on board for this strategy.
And see, this is how it works, folks. This is like a September 11th situation. You have a media blitz of not correct facts that the drug war lords grab a hold of and start ramming legislation through the parliament before the rational truth unfolds.
And one of the things that Anne McClellan's talking about doing as a part of this bill is including provisions that would force judges to explain why they had given lenient sentences, in any case where they gave lenient sentence, why they had given that lenient sentence to a grower.
Yeah, which in effect is a gag order on judges, because what happens is, and I've seen it happen myself, is that a judge, like, even judges understand what the war on drugs means. There's been many rulings from even in the appeal courts of British Columbia saying that the war on drugs is based on a fallacy and that there's no reason why we should be giving huge sentences to these growers. And to make a judge make a ruling like that kind of puts them in the spotlight and says, like, a judge should be able to, from the facts, give a sentence without having to give an explanation to the public, or give an explanation to the government, or give an explanation to the legal system.
Well, so, you know what it is? It's the first step towards mandatory minimum sentencing.
Yeah, this is the road to mandatory minimums, for sure.
But you know what? It's funny, like McClellan, for example. Here's a quote from McClellan, and she just continues with her anti-pot rant. All of us, whatever role we play in society, she says, need to understand the seriousness of illegal grow ops, that they are not in any way a victimless crime. I'm sure she has a nice deep voice like that, too. That, in fact, most grow-ops are controlled by and run for the benefit of organized crime. And you see this whole thing, this whole spin she's putting on this is about organized crime and big growers. But Roscoe, he wasn't either of those things. He was a mass murderer, psycho gun nut from Alberta.
Who happened to have some marijuana plants.
Small number, 20. He was not involved with organized crime as far as marijuana goes, for sure. I mean, that's not even barely personal. Like,
no.
In fact, most medical growers grow at least that amount. I'm talking legal medical growers grow at least that amount just for personal use. So whether he was selling it or not, that was not an organized criminal thing.
No. And have what? So if they had found a still, if they had found a still operation for making whiskey in his Quonset hut, would you think there would be an outcry to the alcohol producers of Canada saying, we have proof here? Like, if it was like alcohol operation responsible for killing four RCMP, do you think that we would have laws being trying to ram down the Canadian citizens' throats saying there should be stiffer penalties for people who have stills, or stiffer penalties for people who have alcohol in their home? No, it's not that at all. If he had had pharmaceutical drugs, do you think there'd be laws for pharmaceutical drugs that we have to, It would not happen. It doesn't happen. This is a total puppet war on drugs, media hype move.
Well, you know, it makes about as much sense to outlaw spreadsheets because Paul Bernardo was an accountant. You know, the Scarborough rapist was an accountant. It doesn't make any sense at all, in other words. And there's been literally hundreds of mass and serial murderers in the past 10, 20 years. And only one of them, as far as we know, had a grow-up. So if anything, you know, and chances are Roscoe, with his history of violence, that having the pot there was probably actually good for him. Was probably, if anything, we should be asking ourselves, how many lives did that pot save? How many people did Roscoe not kill because he smoked a joint and chilled out? when he was angry.
Yeah, we don't know. We can't tell about. We don't know about those things because of the height. We can't even go in there and see. We don't know what kind of medications he was prescribed. We don't know if he was actually drinking that day. We don't know if he was on pharmaceutical drugs that may have altered his character. We don't know if the military base that's up in northern Alberta was maybe using him to conduct mind control experiments. We don't know these things.
Well, I mean, we can go into the, you know, we could go into that whole thing, too.
I don't want to go into it, but I'm just saying there's a whole bunch of ideas there that remain unexplored.
Well, I prefer to remain logical. That's where we start to get into the area of mass speculation.
Listener, but we're not trying to go into the, like, you know, the deep conspiracy here. I just threw that in as, like, you know, just things that don't ever get asked.
If you really want to get a deep conspiracy, there's the fact that, you know, these killings took place on the 100th anniversary of Prohibition.
The first law ever put into effect in North America that had to do with Prohibition was 100 years to the day.
Was this, you know, so you may, no, I don't even want to get into it.
No, let's not get into it.
But, you know, because there's so many facts that you don't even need to go there.
No.
The facts for themselves speak volumes. There's been many, many police deaths, as the Province newspaper pointed out today. Many, many police deaths in the past, 100 years or so. It happens regularly. Police officers die in the line of duty, and, you know, it's very, very rarely does it have to do with marijuana grow-ups. And police have come forward, police officers have come forward since this event and said, you know, it's very rare that they even find guns in a grow operation. Mm-hmm. This is a very rare thing. It's not something that happens all the time. It's an exception to the rule that it was a very strange thing, that they don't think that it's really, you know, tied with grow-ups. So, it's sad that it's being made out this way. Why don't we read some quotes from some people who you would otherwise think would support tough pot laws on for growers as a result of this incident, but who don't?
Okay.
Let's see here. Who we start with? How about we start with former Alberta Liberal Party leader Nick Taylor, also a former senator, who argued that if we really wanted to fix the problem, we should end Prohibition. And here's his quote. The way we've done it now is marijuana has become the exclusive prerogative of the criminal element because there's such fantastic profit in it. I'm not saying that the four men would be alive if we had legalized marijuana, but I suspect they might be. Well, you know, I don't totally agree with him.
He's basically reacting to the idea that the killings were stemming from protection of a giant marijuana grow operation, which it simply isn't. So actually for him to say that basically perpetuates the myth of the situation.
But he said this at a point when nobody knew any different.
Yeah, yeah.
But basically what he was arguing was, he said, you know, he would vote for legalization if it came up. And the reason that he said this is because he was trying to point out that it was Prohibition that had caused the problem and not the plants. So, kudos to Nick Taylor, the former Alberta Liberal Party leader.
Totally. That's totally... I like when people get to the root of things.
And then we have a great quote here from... Let me see here. We have a couple more good quotes. And I just have to dig them up. We have one from Conservative Party leader Steve Harper, and he said, I'm reluctant to draw too many links between these events and public policy. Legislation cannot avoid all tragedies. Whenever there is a tragedy like this, there are calls for immediate and drastic action. The left will call for more gun control, and the right will call for tougher penalties. But the truth of the matter, if someone dangerous or disturbed decides to engage in this kind of action, there's no world in which we can ensure that all of these things can be prevented.
Holy, who is that?
That was Conservative Party leader Stephen Harper. Can you believe it? He basically said something far wiser than we're hearing from many of the leading Liberal Party members and from the Liberal cabinet. We have Stephen Harper, the Conservative chief, coming out and saying that he does not agree that we need tougher penalties because of this grow-up thing.
Whoa. That's... Whoa. Listeners, I'm having a problem here.
Also, you know, there was a lot of dissent amongst liberals, as was evidenced by the former Liberal Party leader of Alberta. But also Treasury Board President, Liberal Treasury Board President Reg Alcock said that he also would vote in favor of legalization. And he said if we actually wanted to break the back of organized crime, we would be better off to control it. When you have these things underground, what you end up fueling is organized crime. Again, he was responding to the original, you know, presupposition that this was, you know, some sort of massive marijuana operation. But you know, it's really interesting that Ralph Klein, somebody who, you know, you would think he's a bit libertarian, may actually, you know, you'd hope anyways would support an
anti-drug war. He's a goof.
Comes out and, you know, and says that we need tougher pot laws. Well, you know, really obviously trying to take the focus off the fact that Roscoe killed those officers with an illegal automatic weapon. And that, you know, and that if anything, you know, it really should be spurring calls for more gun control, although I don't agree with gun control either. And I think, you know, if anything, maybe this shows that gun control is about as effective as prohibition, because he had an illegal weapon, and whether, you know, it was registered, it was obviously not registered, and no matter what kind of a registry system you put in place, he still would have had that illegal weapon.
Totally.
There's one more good quote I want to bring out. It's from Hamilton Police Chief, a retired Hamilton Police Chief. And this retired Hamilton Police Chief said, and I'm just scrolling down here, his name's Kenneth D. Robertson. He says, if federal politicians really want to prevent another tragedy, they'll put funding into appropriate demand reduction strategies, including drug prevention and enforcement. They will also ensure minimum jail sentences are applied to those who choose to profit from grow-ops. It's time for government to provide leadership in reducing demand for illegal drugs. Former Hamilton Police Chief.
Wow.
So, Dusty, why don't we take a break here? That was pretty heavy.
Yeah, let's take a break. This is Fish with Gula Papyrus.
Thank you. So maybe I could be a fly and feed arachnid as I die and do the ritual from within the silken tunnel that they spin and through the bedroom door intrude a fretful frown and spoil the mood. Cause though I never really stand that tall, she'd tilt my frame, she'd watch me fall. This is the work of Lula Papyrus, stranded for a moment on the ocean of Osiris, absorbing all she can for every member of her clan. This is the work of Lula Papyrus, stranded for a moment on the ocean of Osiris, absorbing all she can for every member of her clan. Of Osiris, absorbing all she can for every member of her clan.
Welcome back. This is Kootenai Co-op Radio 93.5 FM CJLY, broadcasting live from Nelson and over the worldwide mycelium on www.kootenaicoopradio.com. If you're down the lake, you can pick up this radio show on 96.5 FM Kootenai Lake. And if you're a listener who doesn't quite have time, people, this radio show is now on an activist radio archive in the United States, and you can go to www.radioforall. Thank you, Dan. Luckily, Dan's here. You would have been very confused. Radio, RADIO, number four. All, A-L-L, dot net, net. Yes, dot net. Net. And that's spelled N with the numbers N-E-T.
This is, see, Dustin, this is why you weren't hired for that spot on Sesame Street.
Yeah, brought to you by the letter 4. Dun, 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 dun. No, but you can, if you've missed any of previous shows, they're archived. They're going out across the radio waves through different channels. So, yes, www.radioforall.net is a complete archive of the shows. And if you check that archive, it'll be growing, growing, and growing. Because we love growing.
Well, you know, this it's really interesting. The one thing that we missed was the backlash against activism that
was
a part of this as well, and played a very sad role. There's a very popular conservative news website, www.bourque.org, that's spelled B-O-U-R-Q-U-E.org, that right after this story broke about the Mounties, put a link on their site that read, "Activist rebel in Mounties deaths."
Fuck.
And unfortunately, this linked to Cannabis Culture's online forums to a post by a non-activist who had some very angry and unfortunate things to say. Now, when activists learned that this headline was on the Bourque news watch website, wrote in letters to, you know, wrote emails to Bourque, and they removed the headline, much to their credit, because it was quite awful and misleading. And the unfortunate post by that non-activist in the Cannabis Culture forums was removed voluntarily. So, but it does go to show that whenever there's an opportunity to capitalize upon tragedy, that it's more often the prohibitionists who are likely to sort of take an opportunistic leap towards you know, I would say, you know, extremely distasteful kind of, you know, in a very distasteful kind of way.
Yeah, it's the scapegoatism, and also the trying to blame and trying to, like, we're all saddened by this, but all of a sudden, because we're drug war activists, that we don't care, or that we actually are like, yeah, right on, those cops should have died, you know, that kind of thing, demonizing us, when all we should all be looking at is, who are these people, how did it happen, not trying to place blame or make anybody, you know, we already feel bad without trying to say, you know, because you're a drug war activist that you supported their deaths or something, like going on these crazy tangents.
Well, we all obviously feel bad about it. It's never a time to celebrate when good people die.
Well, especially, you know, for truck parts.
Yeah, it's awful, and it's an awful tragedy. And to suggest that that a group of people are, you know, of activists essentially are reveling in this, when it's so obviously a single post by a non-activist, to me it's not just distasteful, it's not just pathetic, it's all practically downright evil.
Well, it's the heart of propaganda, which is how they keep the democracy alive, is through this kind of propaganda. And when you see how it's used and manipulated, if you're awake, it just makes you sick. Because just like 9/11, just like Iraq, just like Afghanistan, all these places where when you are awake and you see the truth, and then you see the way they spin it, it just makes you sick, because they're affecting public opinion, they're affecting the way legislation goes through, they're affecting the way judges rule, they're affecting all these things based on a fallacy, based on a ghost.
That's why it's so important when stuff like this happens that people speak up, that they use their minds in a critical way to analyze the media.
Mm-hmm.